promise to be good. I'm not going to take long, but I do want us to take some time in the Word. So if you've got your Bibles with you, I want us to read 1 John 2. And this is the humbling moment where I realize I can't read my Bible without my glasses on. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to read this passage. 1 John 2, 1 through 11. My goodness, glasses actually do work. That's amazing. You can see it. Right, okay. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment, but an old one, which I have had since the beginning. This old command is a message you've heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. So, just a few words about verses 1 through 11, and it's about Christianity being real. It's about it actually making a difference to our life. Okay? It's very, very simple. What John is saying to us is this. Real Christianity is shown, and real Christians are shown by those who live like Jesus. Really simple. You know, you want to know how to follow God? Live like Jesus. That's what true Christianity is. And when we're not doing that, when we allow bitterness and unforgiveness and all the rest of it to be harbored in our hearts, when we're still angry against our brother, as it says here, then you've missed the point. And actually, we need to know what it is to just be real about our faith, make it a difference in our life. So this is the first part that he says in this chapter, between verses 1 to 11. It's about reality. It's about knowing who Jesus is. But listen, here's what it's not about. It's not about religious activity and duty. You don't get to be a Christian by doing the right things, okay? Doing the right things is an overflow of the relationship that we have with God. We get right with God by having a relationship with God, all right? We don't do things and earn his favor and then we get a relationship. That's not the way that this works. The way that it works is this. Get the relationship with God. He changes your purpose, your identity in life. You are overwhelmed by his love. Then begin to love other people. That's how this is supposed to happen, okay? And so when that's not actually happening, although it's tempting for us to kind of go sort out your attitude and sort out your sin and all the rest of it, actually the response is that the best thing is this. It's not about behavior modification. It's not about telling us, do this and do this and do this. Do you know the best advice? Press into God. Have a deeper revelation of who he is. Understand more of your identity and your purpose in God. And then you will find that naturally you will begin to change. Because you're not doing it out of your own best efforts. You're actually doing it out of a natural overflow of the love of God, which has been pouring into your life, now pours out through actions which are changed. That's what he's talking about here. Okay? Right, moving on. 12. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because we have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. What is Paul saying? Nothing at all. He didn't write this book. What's John saying? Oops. Went into a wee bit of a default mode there. Woo! Okay. What is John saying to us? John's saying to us this, that actually it's for everyone, you know. It's for those who are young in the faith, those who are grown up in the faith, those who are mature in the faith. It's for everyone to hear this message about reality, about the fact that God is calling us to make this stuff real by being as God would want us to be. There are different levels of maturity in our walk with God. And just very simply, I want to sort of say this to you. We believe here in White Inn, so we're called to create a discipleship culture. And a disciple is one who follows after Jesus, but who is also having others following after them. And that, my question to you is this. I want to ask you the question, who are you following and who is following you? Because if you are not following after someone, if you're not pursuing, you know, a greater knowledge of what God's like and how he can work and all that kind of stuff, and at the same time saying, who am I bringing with me? Who am I raising up behind me? Who am I giving whatever I have so that, you know, so that actually they too would be lifted up? Then again, we've missed the point. Okay, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man and the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives by faith forever. Again, what happens in the addiction community is this. They have a moment where they actually kind of talk about the question they ask about, the kind of whatever it is, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whatever it is. They ask the question, are you done yet? You know, have you got to the point where you're done, where you're finished with it? When you've got to the point where you're sick of whatever it is that you've been using with. Because you have to get to the point where you're done before you can change. No one can help an addict when they're not done. And no one can help any of us when we are not done with the things of the world. When actually we kind of fill ourselves up with whatever it is. And for some of us, it'll be things like drink, it'll be food, it'll be Facebook, it'll be TV, some of it will be porn. Other people, it'll be other things. Whatever it is, we're filling our life with other stuff. And what John is saying here is this. Are you done yet with that other stuff? Because what you'll find is it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't fill. It always leaves you empty. It always leaves you wanting more. It doesn't actually do what you want it to do. Are you done with the world, he's saying? If you are, God will fill you and you will be satisfied and full. Verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lies come from the truth. Who is the liar? It's the man who denies that Jesus is Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Father, the Son has the Father, and whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you did not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it was taught to you, remaining in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his continuing. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Do Do not be led astray. Do not be led astray. If you want to, and what I mean by that is, do you have a Christian worldview? Do you see the world through God's eyes? Do you know the scripture and the teaching of God? Do you understand the deep things of God? Do not be led astray by the teachings of the world. Do not be led astray by consumerism that says that we can buy happiness. Do not be led astray by individualism that says, I will live my life my way and no one else can speak to me. Do not be led astray by pluralism that says there are lots and lots of different ways and all of them are equally as valuable and equally good. Do not be led astray. Learn how to grow in maturity in the things of God. Understand that there's lots of stuff in our heads which actually doesn't come from God. It's time to decide to move into maturity. And I want to encourage us, as John encourages us, to press into that today. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for all that you're doing amongst us. We pray now your blessing upon us. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all those that you love, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.